everybody. Bob Plaster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy broadcast every Friday night here on KCRW. And tonight is what I think is a very special show. We're going to be listening to the gentle, lovely humor of Garrison Keillor. For those of you who don't know, Keillor is the host of a radio program entitled A Prairie Home Companion, which is heard on KUSC here in Los Angeles. And the program is basically a variety show, although its highlight is the monologue every week by Garrison Keillor, in which he gives the news from Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, a fictional town populated basically by Swedes and Norwegians, as most of Minnesota is. Although the humor pretty much transcends ethnicity. The characters one comes to know and the fictitional products that are sponsors of the show, such as Powder Milk Biscuits, Ahua Hot Sauce, Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery, the Sidetrack Tap, the Chatterbox Cafe, Bertha's Kitty Boutique, the Fearmonger Shop. I mean, one gets to know them all, but you really don't need any introduction to this stuff other than to just sit back and enjoy it. He tends to get around to a point with these monologues, and to a certain degree, they're almost like sermons, but would that all sermons were this entertaining. What you will hear in this show is, unfortunately, excerpts. Some of his best monologues run 20, 30 minutes long, and there just isn't time for them tonight. So you'll hear shorter bits. And some of these things have never been heard on the radio program, if you're a fan of the radio program. He's also put out records. The records are basically, though, excerpts from the radio program, and that's primarily what we'll be listening to tonight. The news from Lake Wobegon always begins with, well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, and it always ends with, that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, and all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. So let's hear just some examples of the wonderful humor of Garrison Keillor.
Welcome to you on behalf of all your friends in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, which bring you this half hour, including the Chatterbox Cafe, where Dorothy presides, the place to go that's just like home, where the soup of the day, all month, this month, and summer next, is the chicken soup made from real chicken, not made from powders, no sir. Also brought to you by the Sidetrack Tap, where Wally and Evelyn wait to welcome you, where the Blue Skirt Waltz is still on the jukebox, where the lights are dim, where beer is still two bits and a bump is six, where the pinball machine never tilts and love never dies. Also brought to you by Bob's Bank, there in the little green mobile home on Main Street, save at the sign of the sock. Well, it has been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, the little town that time forgot, that the decades cannot improve. The Hockstetter's dog died this last week, Rex. He was 14 years old, part spaniel, and about nine parts of something else. It was a dog who loved to chase cars. They bought him for a watchdog out there on the farm. But, you know, whenever a car would turn into the driveway, he'd kind of lose interest in it. He loved to chase them. And he'd lie out there on the grass out by the garden and watch for one to go down the county road. And as soon as it got a little bit of a head start, he'd start out on the diagonal to catch up with it. He'd cut across the garden and through the fence and down through the pasture and through the ditch, and he'd catch up with it, and he would follow it for about a quarter of a mile, depending on how fast it was going. They tried locking him in the house once, but that was a mistake. He heard a car go by on the highway and went straight up against Mrs. Hockstetter's collection of state plates. Well, he chased his last car this last week. He set out on the diagonal, and he went across the garden and through the fence and across the pasture and down the ditch and up, and he followed it for a little ways, and he seemed to have a heart attack. And he just kind of gave a little leap in the air, and he rolled over a few times, and he was dead. Raleigh said it was how Rex would have wanted to go. Not to crawl under a porch someplace and be sick for weeks, but to die in action, as it were. to die in the line of duty. With his paws on, you know. I always had a feeling about that dog that he had a dream. That he felt that someday he'd catch one. He'd be able to catch a car and grab hold of it and wrestle it down into the ditch. Get the best of it. And of course, with the coming of compact cars, he probably was encouraged to feel that he had a chance. It may seem like a useless way to spend your life, but it was his way, and it was his dream. And I think that dog knew something. I think he had the right idea. And that's the news from Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, where all the women are strong and all the men are good-looking and all the children are above average. Rescue. Some men in Lake Wobegon who were having a high old time, this last week. And I'm talking about the Sons of Canute up at the Sons of Canute Temple. They were busy all week down in the basement building duck decoys for duck hunting season, which starts in just a little bit, and which is such a big deal for all those old guys. They take off for the weekend of the opener and every weekend thereafter until they get sick. Go out to the Pete Peterson Memorial Duck Blind and Hunting Lodge out on the east end of the lake away from town. Sit out there and whoop it up, have a great old time. Ever so often, when they think of it, take a few shots, you know. They do love their duck hunting, and they look forward to it. The Memorial Lodge is the lake home that Pete Peterson, the late Pete Peterson, built for himself and his wife Tina after he retired from the locker plant back, about 20 years ago. He was a duck hunter, and he built that lake home right down on the shore with a bedroom looking right out on the slough and a great big window that you could pull a rope and it would drop down so you could take shots right out from there. Because he loved to hunt ducks, and he wanted to hunt ducks till the day he died, and he intended to die in that bed. And he did, with his 12-gauge on his shoulder. They moved out there in the summer. And that fall, on opening day about sunrise, Tina awoke to a blast that came from beside her in the bed. It was Pete crouching on the bed in his PJs. She said, "What in the name of heavenly glory?" He looked at her. He said, "Mergansers." That was the day he started building the duck blind. It was down on the shores, almost as nice as the lake home itself. He dug it deep, and he laid concrete in the bottom, built up concrete walls, put in carpeting down there. He had a little bar in there. He had room for a sofa. Sometimes during duck hunting season, he'd stay out there for days at a time, especially when Tina locked him out of the house. He'd stay out there. Because she always thought it was ridiculous, him shooting at ducks, because he didn't like to eat duck. The only fowl he liked were turkeys and chickens. She said, "Why don't you hunt chickens?" She said, "It'd be a lot cheaper. We could get a hen house. We'd buy about 30, 40 leghorns. You could go out there, bang away at them anytime you wanted to." He said, "That's silly. That's silly. Chickens don't fly." So they'll all be out there at the Memorial Lodge and Memorial Duck Blind on opening day if they can get these decoys out of the basement. The decoys they're building, the Sons of Canute are building out of fiberglass. They're about 10 feet long and about 8 feet high. Which they built that size because ducks fly so high that they can't see your regular decoys in the lake. At least they haven't seen the Canute's decoys.
for a while. The few who have come down a little bit were frightened away by the duck calls. So they got these big ones. And a duck at that altitude will look down and it'll look like a regular duck. For that duck. You got ducks flying overhead, and you'll have a duck, you'll look down and you say, look, there's a duck down there. I can see it clearly. The lake looks a little smaller than last year. In comparison to the duck, I mean, but let's go down and have a look. That's the idea. So they've been cutting the heads off these ducks so they could get the decoys out of the basement. People kind of been avoiding comment on it. They're sweet old guys. They have a lot of fun doing this. It's a big deal to them. Clarence Bunsen saw one duck they hauled out. He said it looked more like a pigeon, but he didn't say anything about it. Everybody's keeping a straight face about it. So am I. I'm not a hunter. I never have hunted. But I've done a lot of crazy things in my day, too, that I hope to keep on doing. I hope to keep on doing them. Tina thought it was ridiculous because you could buy meat down at the locker plant. Why shoot it? But the same thing applies to writing, in a way. There's a lot of books in the stores, a lot of literature. Why try and create your own? And as for Pete not eating duck, I don't know of many writers who like to sit around and read their own stuff. Not many of them. So I wish them well. Good luck to the Canutes. Just remember, those are guns you got out there, not typewriters. Keep them on safety. We count you as you go out, and we hope to see all of you return the same number.
I'll just go out and lie on my porch. Just give me two pillows and a bottle of Schmidt and a big plate of snacks I can reach where I sit, and a book about nature, and please will someone go get my sunglasses. I don't care for sun. Oh, Mr. Butch Thompson, I'm gonna go get a pair of sunglasses for him, too. To all outdoor persons, I take off my hat. They're young, tan, and trim. I'm old, white, and fat. But I love my porch. I could sit here all day just drinking toasts to the BWCA. Just give me two pillows and a bottle of beer and the Twins game on radio next to my ear. Some hark to the voice of the loon or the teal, but I love the voice of Herb Carneal.
First hit for the Twins, a single to left center for Gary Gaetti. The Twins get a man on with two out in the second inning, and it'll bring up Pete McCann playing at second base.
I think of those joggers out running around. It makes me so tired, I have to lie down. Someday a team of researchers will find that jogging is harmful, it joggles your mind. Give me two pillows and a bottle of Guinness. Please don't come in and say, how about tennis? 'Cause I don't like sweating, and I don't like to lose. And as long as you're up, would you take off my shoe? Oh, Mr. Dave Moore,
mouthful of cheese and crackers. With 2 weeks vacation, I sent 4 brochures describing excursions and cruises and tours. They were lovely, full color, and they made quite a stack. And I read them all through lying flat on my back. Just give me 2 pillows and a bottle of Pabst. I once was a traveler, but my interest lapsed. I went hundreds of miles, the natives to see. They were sitting on porches and laughing at me. Oh, Mr. Greg Brown, plain lying flat on his back. Oh, the storm should be put on, and that front door needs planing. The window's broken, the roof leaks when it's raining. But life is too short to just work it away. And besides, it don't seem to be raining today. Just give me 2 pillows and a bottle of Löwenbräu. Please don't come in and say we should be going now. Keep all your schedules, calendars, and your dates. He also serves who just lies here and waits.
Seems to be getting a little darker now than it was at the start of the ballgame. See the reflection of the lights on the dugout there in that little pool of water. There's a drive hit on the left center field.
Well, soon my old porch will be filled up with snow. And one of these days I must get up and go. And put on my coat, pull a cap on my head, put on my warm boots and crawl into bed. Just give me 2 pillows and a bottle of beer. And know that I love you, my darling, my dear. I know we don't go out like other folks do, but there's no one I'd rather lie down with than you.
Boy, it's been a busy month here for Margaret Haskins Derber, the poet laureate of Lake Wobegon. Boy, she churned out a poem on winter here just this last week. We read it last Saturday night. Sent us another one here this week. Some people have asked me if I think that Margaret Haskins Derber's poems are good poems, and I don't know. They're not like the poems that I write at all. They're... My stuff is... I write serious poems and unrhymed and very obscure, so nobody would understand what they mean. I kind of like hers. This is called The Ballad of the Guy Who Came in from the Cold. In northeast Minnesota, what they call the Iron Range, where men are men, and that is that, and some things never change, where winter stays 9 months a year, there is no spring or fall, and it's so cold the mercury cannot be seen at all, where you and I, we normal folks, would shiver, shake, and chatter, and if we used an outhouse, we would grow an extra bladder. But even when it's coldest, when our feet would have no feeling, those Iron Rangers get dressed up and go out snowmobiling, out across the frozen land, and make a couple stops at Gino's Lounge and Rudy's Bar for whiskey, beer, and schnapps. And then they go into a shack that's filled with boiling rocks, that's hot enough to sterilize an Iron Ranger's socks. They sit there till they steam out every sin and every foible. Then they jump into a frozen lake and claim that it's enjoyable. But there was one, a shy young man, and although he was Finnish, the joys of winter had for him long started to diminish. He was a Finn, the only Finn, who would not take a sauna. "It isn't that I can't," he said, "I simply do not wanna." And so he stayed close by a stove for 9 months of the year because he was so sensitive to change of temperature. His friend said, "Come on, Toivo, let's go out to Sunfish Lake." A Finn who don't take saunas? Why, there must be some mistake. But Toivo said, "There's no mistake. I know that I would freeze in water colder than myself, 98.6 degrees. To jump into a frozen lake is not my fondest wish. For just because I am a Finn don't mean that I'm a fish." One night he went to Eveleth to attend the miners' ball. If you have not danced in Eveleth, you've never danced at all. And he met a Finnish beauty there who turned his head around. She was broad of beam, and when she danced, she shook the frozen ground. She took that shy young man in hand and swept him off his feet and bounced him up and down until he learned that polka beat. She was strong as any man. She was as fair as she was wide. And when the dance was over, he asked her to be his bride. She looked him over carefully. She said, "You're kind of thin, but you must have some courage if it's true you are a Finn. I ain't particular about men. I am no prima donna, but I would never marry one who would not take a sauna." They got into her pickup, and down the road they drove. And 15 minutes later, they were stoking up the stove. She had a flask of whiskey. They had a couple toots and went into the shack and got into their birthday suits. She steamed him and she boiled him until his skin turned red. She poured it on until his brains were boiling in his head. To improve his circulation and to soften up his hide, she got a couple birch boughs and she beat him till he cried, "Oh, couldn't you just love me now? Oh, don't you think you can?" She said, "It's time to go outside and show you are a man." Straightway, because he loved her so, he thought his heart would break. He jumped right up and out the door and ran down to the lake. And though he paused a moment when he saw the lake was frozen and tried to think just which snowbank his love had put his clothes in, when he thought of his true love, he didn't have to think twice. He just picked up his frozen feet and raced across the ice, and coming to the hole that they had cut there with an axe, putting common sense aside, ignoring all the facts, he leaped. Oh, what a leap. And as he dove below the surface, it thrilled him to his very soul and also made him nervous. And it wasn't just the tingling cold he felt in every limb. He cried, "My love, I'm finished. I forgot I cannot swim." She fished him out and stood him up and gave him an embrace that warmed his very heart and made the blood rush to his face. "I love you, darling dear," she cried. "I love you with all my might." And she drove him to Bawabik, and he married her that night. And they live happily to this day, although they sometimes quarrel. And there, I guess, the story ends, except for this, the moral. Marriage, friends, is not a banquet. Love is no free lunch. You cannot dabble round the edge, but each must take the plunge. Though marriage, like that frozen lake, may sometimes make us colder, it has its pleasures too, as you may find out when you're older.
About Lake Wobegon, they're meant for you to enjoy. But it gets harder and harder to tell them for a storyteller. Because the more you tell them, the more you realize how far wide of the mark you really are. I know that I've said probably two or three things now, just about the last 15 minutes are going to bother me. Inaccurate things. I'll think about them tomorrow. I'll think about them all week. It's sort of God's judgment on people who are ambitious about telling lies, you see. It doesn't bother you when you start out telling lies. You know, you're just grateful to be able to get through them without fainting up here. But when you become as accomplished a liar as I am, then you're troubled by inaccuracies in your lies. Because, see, the reason that you tell lies about a wonderful place is that you believe that if you get every detail right, absolutely right, and every character in that story has exactly as many hairs on his or her head as she's supposed to have, or him, that if you get it absolutely perfect, that you will be lifted up out of this life and you will be set down in that wonderful place that you've told lies about, and all your lies become true. Now, see, what you don't realize, so many of you, is that not only is Lake Wobegon made up, but Minnesota is made up too. I invented it. A lot of people invented it. There is no such state. I hate to be the first one to tell you. But I keep on telling stories about Minnesota in the hopes that if I get it exactly right, that I'd be lifted up out of here in East Los Angeles and be able to live there.
Someday I might.
Well, I'll tell you, if this seems a little complicated to you, it's gone by pretty fast for me, too. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.
And that'll wrap up this salute to Garrison Keillor, host of A Prairie Home Companion, which is heard every Saturday night at 6 here on KUSC. Not here, but there on KUSC. I hope you enjoyed it. I feel very strongly about this stuff. I think he's wonderful. Also, watch for his pieces, which occur fairly regularly in The New Yorker. He also has a wonderful book out entitled Happy to Be Here, and he's got lots of great records, which you can get a catalog from Minnesota Public Radio, Department K, 45 East 8th Street, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101. Lots of good stuff in that catalog, too. It's a neat catalog. And that'll just about wrap up this episode of Funny Stuff. Next week's show is also very special. I attended the 4th Annual Razzie Awards, the Golden Raspberry Awards, given to the worst performances in films and the worst films, and it was a hoot, and I'll be editing that down to the length of this show. So that'll be next week. I hope you can join me then. And until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. And that's the truth. Good night, everybody.